This podcast of The Treatment is a production of KCRW Santa Monica at 89.9 FM and webcasting at kcrw.com.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. One of the best albums of the last couple of years is An Italian Story. My guest just said hello. Daniel Lupi is the composer. He plays on it as well. Daniel, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Talk about the album and the influence. I mean, it's clearly influenced by not only the lifestyle of Italy of the 60s and 70s, but also of a lot of the sort of the lifestyle was conveyed through movies and through the scores for those movies as well, right?
Yes. Absolutely. It's it was an era of great movies, great soundtracks. As a matter of fact, you know, there are legions of people that still buys and watches and listen to that
music,
sad. Which I am.
So am I.
I'm one of, no, thank God that they produce a lot of stuff in only 10, 15 years. So we can live with it for the next, you know, 100 or something like that. It was a very magical period. I have to say I was really a kid.
But the great thing about those movies and those scores is they created a world that we wanted to live in. Everything is very sleek, kind of modern.
Models, parties, villas, absolutely. I mean, it's like Playboys. Totally depicted a magic world, and which is so fascinating. Everybody wanted to be Marcello Mastroianni, I mean, and, you know, ride the cars with the ladies. But also, I mean, I would say, in my opinion, it's also sophisticated, elegant. So it was, you know, a very, you can say sexy, yes, but it was, as, by the way, people of every age went to see those kind of movies. Let's not forget that. There was no DVD, no home video, nothing. So there was something that everybody enjoyed. I mean,
but they were the movies that moved us past Vittorio De Sica and those guys, a post World War II Italy
into like the new realism.
Yes, into the modern Italy of the 60s, where that world was kind of behind us. Now it's all about this what we want to be as sophisticated adults. I mean,
right.
And it seems like it was that way for both Italian kids as well as for American kids.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there was this economic boom that was the inspirational for, I would say, the following 20, 30 years. You know, the good thing about the that we always not talk so well about it, the national TV, right? Well, they actually, you know, maybe 11 o'clock at night, but they did show the most amazing pictures that you can, you know, that now everybody is so in love with. I was lucky enough to spend, you know, hours watching those films. It's funny because I was speaking to Alessandroni, the Whistler, about this thing that I was doing, which I didn't have any home videotaping machines at home. So what I was doing, I was actually recording on a cassette tape only the audio of the film. Okay, and then I would listen to the entire tape, meaning it's like the audio of the film. So even dialogue, everything. And I would listen for hours to that. But it was actually quite an experience because you have only dialogue, sound maybe, and music, and you see how they were interacting. It, a wonderful experience. I spent days and days. Then finally, you know, I had some money to buy a VCR.
It's The Treatment. My guest is Daniel Lupi. His album is An Italian Story. What you're talking about fascinates me because for a lot of us, what lives in our minds are those sounds of those movies anyway. And since a lot of them were done in mono, it was kind of okay to sit and record it with like a cassette recorder from a TV because the sound wasn't actually that different.
Absolutely right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, no, it was not a problem, not an issue to have those type of quality in the recording. Absolutely. But again, I was about to say that Alessandroni was telling me how, you know, they were recording everybody at the same time, at the very same time, meaning orchestra, you know, string section, brass, choir, because, you know, Maestro Alessandroni, he also was responsible for the Cantori Moderni choir, which was you know, used in hundreds of movies as well.
Mention some of the movies that we could have heard the choir on.
Like Fistful of Dollars, a few dollars more, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. A lot of Trovajoli's movies where he did the soundtracks. The Seven Golden Men with a beautiful Rosanna theme that I know you like. So they were actually recording everything at the same time, straight to like a stereo track tape, and that's about it. But I only want to say a little, you know, because by doing this album, I not only had the pleasure to meet these people, but also to see the way they were, you know, to understand the way they produced this wonderful music, which different, I mean, you might think, oh, they were working 24 hours a day, which is true, because they were producing a lot of music. But they always did, and this was a big lesson for me, they always did it in a very relaxed, with a very relaxed attitude. They enjoyed themselves a lot. They became all friends, all these great session players. So it was a lesson to know that it's possible to produce amazing quality music without being so worried about, God, you know, will I be in the budget? Will the producer like this and that? So it's it was an interesting, you know, period and way of working, and I totally enjoy to find out how they did it.
What I really get a sense of from that, from the CD, is, and the same way I got from a lot of those scores, is constant movement, you know, because there's so much about driving or walking or strolling. And a lot of the songs, like in Italian Story, which is the title track, I get the sort of sense of just kind of moving through. I mean, it's described as dreamy sometimes, but movement seems kind of crucial to it. Is that part of it for you?
Well, it is totally. We have a way to say in Italian when the music is cinematic. I think in English as well, it does. You understand what I'm saying? It drives along with the scenes. But if it's hopefully well done enough, it also by itself, if you listen to the music, it just flows very well. Now, I have to say a couple of things. Well, the track, An Italian Story, specifically, has a kind of a trick, and like an artisan trick that was used many times back then, which is basically you have a theme that you hear the first time with the whistler, by the way, and then there is a technique to change the harmony of the theme. So basically you hear it in like three or four different tonalities. So it never, you know, it doesn't go back like to the same pitch, the same notes. So that helps a lot. Another thing that this is the composing kind of side of it, but another thing that I have to say that everybody was shocked when I you know, told them about how I did this album, that everybody, all the musicians, they played from, you know, A to Z. I mean, they play drums, especially, that we all know people are sampling four beats and then they just copy, cut and paste, right? That's how you say, right?
Sure.
No, they, first of all, we recorded on a tape. We recorded on a 24, you know, Studer tape machine. It's like, they didn't have any Pro Tools, anything like that in the studio. So technically, is not you can switch from one track to the other, but at the same moment in time, meaning 1 minute, 2 seconds, blah blah blah, you go from track 4 to 5 if you want to, but you don't go from 50 seconds to 2 minutes and a half. You don't move that direction. No way. Which is to say, everybody played everything from the first measure to the last measure. There was, you know, obviously this guy know each other and they've been working together for, you know, like 40 years, 41 years. I was kind of shocked, you know, twice, almost my age. You know? It was, wow, that's why they sound so well together, you know. But anyway, these people, we had one occasion where the organ player, Antonello Vannucchi, incredible musician, okay, he's well known and hated, friendly but hated by his friends, that he never wants to, let's say his solo comes in at 1 minute, he wants to listen to the whole thing from the beginning. So for the recording engineer and the other guys, they were, oh my God, Antonello, come on. So he wants to, there is a little mistake or whatever he did, you know, go back from the top with the tape, you know, the tape, brrr, clack, 1 minute and a half. Everybody was like screaming at him. But anyway, so that was, I mean, one of the many amazing things. Or like, I can only remember the very first day we finished the take and somebody kicks the door of the studio. And there was Maurizio Majorana, the bass player, with two dishes of spaghetti, smoking spaghetti. It's 1 o'clock. I mean, you have to eat and blah, blah, blah. Ah, incredible.
So he just cooked and brought it into the session?
Yes. Oh, well, I mean, the studio has a kitchen which is probably bigger than the recording room. And, well, just we're talking about spaghetti now. You know, the engineer is somebody, Aldo Amici, an amazing character. He's a person who at 1 o'clock, no matter what you're doing, you can have even, you know, who knows, Frank Sinatra, if possible, in the studio. He said, hold on a second. He goes to the kitchen, he puts the water to boil to have his pasta ready for 1:15. And then there is a nap, etc., etc. So that's what I was talking about, the way of working relaxed. I don't want to say on the other side because it's not the correct way to put it, but let's not forget that this amazing musician, they nailed down everything at the first take.
My guest is Daniel Lupi. We're talking. His CD is an Italian story, an amazing soundscape influenced by Italian film and music of the 60s and 70s. You were saying before that they record these things as a matter of course in like 3 or 4 hours. They record a soundtrack basically in a day.
Yes, they had very often they had 3 hours to do the entire soundtrack. So they had to nail down everything in the first take. Everything. Because the budget was what it was.
But it must have been fascinating for you just to sort of see these guys were basically a working machine. They all knew each other so well. They were such ultimate sort of session players that they could just step in and do the work and they just play what they wanted to play.
Yeah, absolutely. There were like, you know, I would say 10, 12 people total in Rome that they were, I mean, so busy. They told me, first of all, the recording session back then, you know, they were like 4 hours originally. So, you know, they did like even three sessions a day. It's 12 hours of recording. They could have done maybe three movies in one day. I mean, it was incredible. So 12 session players that they were requested so much that, you know, maybe they had 10 o'clock with Morricone, 3 o'clock with Troioli, and then, you know, 6 o'clock with Nino Rota. That's how it was. Unbelievable.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with my guest, Daniel Lupi. His album, Amazing CD, is an Italian story. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guests are composer, producer, lifestyle magnate, recreator, Daniel Lupi. His amazing album, the great CD, is an Italian story. And we have in the studio with us another guest and one of the amazing instrumentalists, Whistler, Alessandro Alessandrini. Sandro, thanks for being here with us, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Daniel, tell us about how you and Sandro met, how you went after it, and to gather the musicians you wanted for the session.
At a certain point, I was so incredibly happy that I was able to reunite these legends of film scoring. And I said, well, I will really try to reach the top. And so through a common friend, I was able to call Sandro, which, you know, he was at the very beginning, he was, you know, like, well, yeah, let's see. He didn't know who I was, obviously. And so I remember perfectly actually asking him, which I know it would sound ridiculous, but if you can tell me any other way to find this out, what is really exactly the range of the whistle? I didn't want him to come in and say, oh, my God, I cannot do this note or stuff like that. So anyway, so we talk technically, let's put it this way, about this. And then it all became a very dear moment because, I mean, to hear him whistling my tunes, to understand, I hope, that he felt comfortable, it was an enormous joy. As much as, I have to say, see Sandro with his old friend, the Mark IV. That was a very moving moment.
Now, the Mark IV is basically that core unit that recorded many of those soundtracks.
The way they put it is like the Wrecking Crew of Rome or something like that. No, I'm sorry. I hope I'm saying that.
No, that's perfect. Absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah. So, basically, these four guys, they recorded everything that you can imagine producing Rome. And also, as they told me, very proud, Liza Minnelli Cabaret. It's actually them playing. So, it's interesting. Because they were doing what now happens in Eastern Europe. You know, it was cheaper to record in Rome. So Henry Mancini and other, you know, Jerry Goldsmith, all these big film composers, they were coming to Rome to record with the orchestra. This is the, you know, type of people that I was so fortunate to, you know, witness working on my music. It was incredible.
Sandro, how many takes did it take you to get the whistle right for Italian Story? Because actually, this is a song that just sticks with me. How many takes did you do on that one?
I think it's a couple of times, no more, just to read first and check that the range was right according to my possibility.
People know you from great scores, too. You worked with Morricone on a number of his scores, right?
Sure.
Which of those scores would the listeners know you from? Which movies did you do with Sergio Leone?
Every Western from Sergio Leone and with music of Morricone, I was always there with the whistle, with the guitar, and with my choir.
A lot of times you record the soundtracks without seeing the movies, right?
Not always. We had to the sequences with the photographic sequence. And we were always live, you know, with the orchestra, strings, brass, choir. And it was really difficult because, you know, this was the danger to mix the sound of the choir with the strings. And then the channel that we had, the tracks that we had, the first was only three tracks, you know. It was a historical recording.
I told you.
Now, you were telling Daniel a little bit about that. Like, for example, the story about that great organ we're used to hearing in some of those scores.
Yeah. Briefly, of course, I passed all these hours, not too much, but, you know, maybe more at lunch than in the recording studio. But I did stay and had the pleasure to hear many stories. One of the stories that they told me is that you know, the Antonello Vannucchi, the organ player, said, well, Daniel, you know the eerie, weird, dreamy sounds of Nino Rota for Fellini's chords? Well, yeah, you know, it was like this because it was broken. The organ was broken. So, and it was, I was kind of, you know, wow. It was not the first picture of Fellini. I mean, the Italian producer were very, tough.
Just get it done and move on
get
to the
it
next
done.
Thing.
Yeah.
Sandro, if you felt like it, was there something you'd like to play for us right now?
Yeah, why not? what do you prefer? You have to ask me. Fist of Dollar.
Oh, yes.
That would do.
That will be okay. Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest is Daniel Lupi. His CD, an amazing piece of sound work, is An Italian Story. Sandro, the first time you saw Fistful of Dollars and heard the music in a movie theater, did you have any idea what it was?
No, nobody believed about this movie. You mean this? Also, the RCA, who had to pay the musician, they tried to make the less expensive, you know, because we were laughing when we saw some sequences with all these cadaveri,
corpse of cowboys.
We were laughing. This is not possible. So, so nobody, you know. And then I have to tell you a small thing. When after the big success that was this movie, and the RCA sent me a letter telling that, as we say that the sale of this LP is going so good, so well, we thought to send you this check to reward you. You know the amount of what it was? $25.
A fistful of dollars.
It's not a handful of dollars. I have to ask you, what your first meeting with Morricone was like, Sandro, the first time you met Ennio Morricone?
Some years before that he reached the success, you know. He was making arrangements for the radio in Rome. I came from abroad with my group, and then he asked me to use my choir. And then we made a lot of records before to reach the movie with Clint Eastwood and so on. A lot of records with my choir and my guitar, but I never use the whistle. Never. I used the whistle. I discovered the whistle. Once I was playing guitar in an orchestra for Nino Rota. Yeah. And at the end of the section, he asked the orchestra if there was somebody who could whistle, just a small whistle, at the end of this track. So as nobody answered, I said, "Maestro, maybe I can try." So Ennio called me and said, "Alec, can you come for a little whistle?" You know, a little whistle. My God, a little whistle. He came milliard, you know. Anyway, he called a little whistle.
More than a little whistle. My guests are Alessandro Alessandrini, of course, talking to the composer and the man behind the amazing album CD, An Italian Story, Daniel Lupi. Daniel, let me ask you, too. Morricone was using like jazz signatures and classical signatures for Westerns. And were you aware in hearing stuff like that, or hearing the incredible stuff that Sergio Cipriani did, how modern those things were? I mean, when were you aware of that as a composer?
Well, yeah, I have to say, even if you listen carefully, especially the Morricone soundtracks, the Dollars Trilogy, there is a lot, especially the use of the choir, of the human voices, the famous Coyote scream of the Gudeben and Diaghi. He was well aware of those techniques, and he used that all over, especially the horror movies, all the dissonances and all those weird sounds. As a matter of fact, he used an ensemble called Nuova Consonanza.
Yeah.
There was a very intellectual group of super serious composers that they basically improvised a lot. Mm-hmm. So myself studying music back then, I did study since I was 9 or stuff like that. So, I mean, I was well aware of what he was, you know, trying to do.
Because what you do, what I really get a sense of in each of the cuts on the Italian Story CD, it's almost like you're compressing an album into a single track.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The An Italian Story album, it's a complete homage to those soundtracks, but also exactly to the variety of type of sound. It was totally my goal to try to include in each track a different atmosphere, as it could have been the main theme for a movie. Therefore, it's like 12 cuts. It's basically 12 themes from 12 different movies. That's how I approached.
It's more than that. It's a real atmosphere. And speaking of atmosphere, Sam, I have to ask you if you could play something from one of my favorite Morricone scores that you whistled on, Giulia Testa. Giulia Testa, which was released in the United States variously as Fistful of Dynamite or Duck You Sucker. Unfortunately, that Morricone soundtrack is not on any domestic CDs. You have to look around for it. But that, of course, was Alessandro Alessandrini playing guitar and whistling and shum-shumming as he did on the score as well. Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful CD. The CD is an Italian story. My guest is Daniel Lupi, its composer, Alessandro Alessandrini. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Our technical director is Mario Diaz. The producer is Mary Holdridge. I'm very lucky. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.